We're ready to start side two for Orville McCarver on June 22nd, 2005. So, okay, Orville, go ahead and continue with your felt bad for the security officer.
The security officer, well, I didn't altogether blame him for it because he thought that they were not serious about going home. They'll have him tearing it down again, tearing down the scaffolding, the wood structures. I don't know whether that's the way to look at it or not, but he made a mistake. But thank goodness the ship didn't blow up outside the San Francisco Bay. And nothing blew up after they got it into port. I was planning on taking off that ship, taking over to Treasure Island, my home base. And then I requested to be discharged at Las Vegas, Nevada, my home there, instead of Memphis, even though my folks lived near 150 miles from Memphis. And it was granted. So they took me over to Camp Shoemaker, and there they orientated us for civilian life.
And so, all did they do for you to get you ready for civilian life? Tell us about that.
Well, they said a chaplain, a Jewish chaplain, told us. He said, "Now, he said you have got an incredible vocabulary, but said leave that with the Navy. That it went over big with your shipmates, that it won't with your folks." But all the boys would start laughing, and he'd real quick walk over the rostrum and leave his head down after just a few minutes. He did that three or four times.
Is that right? And,
said, "Let baloney be baloney."
Baloney.
And everybody laughed.
Yeah.
And he went over.
That was a truism.
There was a lot of fun to the Navy. I thought, for the most part, all the officers, nearly all the officers I met, were reasonable. Mm-hmm. Some were very understanding.
Did you ever get seasick when you were out in those merchant ships?
A little bit. The first, the second time I went, for some reason there I had a little bit seasick, but I didn't miss a watch.
Oh, is that right?
I stood all my watches in general quarters.
Mm-hmm.
They get us up at daybreak for general quarters. And from we were the first ship. We came pretty close to the Fiji Islands and the Ellis Islands. Both were occupied by Japan at that time.
Mm-hmm.
We were expecting them, but I was the first one to see them. I will have to pat myself on the back.
Well, good for you.
I was the first one, and I had good eyes in them.
Uh-huh.
And several times after that, I was the first one to spot land.
Is that right?
It'd just be a dot on the horizon, just a little bump. And so the second ship I was on, at general quarters, I reported a vessel, or looked like a vessel, on 15 degrees off the port bow. Well, the officers had field glasses up on the bridge, and they started looking. And quite a bit of time went by, and they still couldn't find it. And I'd look again with my bare eyes and tell them where it was. Well, later it came into sight.
Uh-huh.
But I did have a lieutenant that said, if we didn't see a ship later on, he was going to court with me. Hmm. He was a
oh, be darned. He was one of those kinds of people.
He was one of those kinds of people.
Yeah.
Yeah, we put up a lot of him.
Yeah.
But anyway, in ways he was right, but still, you know, that's the way he was.
Yeah, that was so, well, then you had, did any of your brothers get inducted into the military also then?
Yes, my oldest brother, who had been exempted for farming, he headed the farm operation.
Mm-hmm.
When my mother remarried, well, of course, we released that place and moved to his place, and they did. And my oldest brother got in the Marines, and he was in the 3rd Marine Division, Iwo Jima and Okinawa.
Yeah,
and then, I don't know when it was, it's close to the end of the war, the 3rd one that was got in, the brother's just younger than I.
He was
a year younger.
Drafted also.
So he was, went in the army. He got in the office, worked, and got 3 pretty good promotions all of a sudden. Then my 4th one of us, he got in the Korean War, and so did my youngest brother, number 5.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them were in Korea.
Well, be darned. So all 5 of them served in the military at one time. Mm-hmm. Well, I didn't run into your brothers in Korea, but we're probably there at different times.
I can't call any of the names of the places. But my youngest brother was there during the Vietnam War, too.
Well, he was at that time, yes. Oh, boy. Yeah, we just shifted, the U.S. kind of shifted from the Korean War, kind of rolled over to the Vietnam War, kind of, well, and then they had that mess with Taiwan. But anyway, well, you got oriented to get back into civilian life, and you had a rabbi talk to you, and what else?
There were several chaplains on there. There were there were Christians, and I think a couple that were Jewish. Very nice. Oh gosh, they were nice. But it was funny the way he he was praying for us.
Yeah, you guys gotta change.
he'd say that and we start laughing, he'd walk over real quick about 3 steps because we lost him.
Yeah, you lost him. Well, how was it for you to adjust back into civilian life then, for you personally? Was that a problem?
Oh, I admit that at first I wasn't sure what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I was considering going back to the pipeline work, but I was afraid that that would play out after the war.
Mm-hmm.
And my uncle wanted me to come back to Nevada with him and mine gold. He got the gold fever.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, a friend of mine wanted to come up to Chicago and take up the sheet metal trade. I didn't do that. In January of 46, that's when I went up to Arkansas Tech in Russellville, Arkansas, and started out my school career with ideas of going into forestry. Well, they never did start their forestry school again. They cut it off during the war, and said as soon as the war's over, they started up again. Well, they didn't.
But you had a period of time in there where you just kind of hung loose then before you decided to go to...
3 semesters I went there, and then never did get in forestry school.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to do more than anything.
Mm-hmm. How come you decided you want to be a, go to forestry, become a forester? Always
Well, I brought up more in forestry than I was on the farm.
We, okay, sure.
We saw wood and bought beans.
Beans, okay, all right. Understand.
My family did.
Mm-hmm.
We cut stove wood. We'd burn about 12 or 14 cords of it every winter ourselves. Hardwood. But I helped my stepfather that summer. He gave me 2 acres of dewberries. He had 10 acres of brambles, mm-hmm, of various kinds. And the spring of 47, the bottom dropped out of the market.
Mm-hmm.
My folks picked once. They sent me, mm-hmm, a check for about $47. Told me that was it. Mm-hmm. They piled them up behind the corn. And at that time, that had been the raspberry capital of the world.
Dewberry. It was.
Just that sudden was no more. Well, the competition from the Northeast, mm-hmm, part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, gosh, I don't remember now. But,
a lot of changes in production. Yep. You went to Arkansas Tech for 3 semesters, then where'd you go?
Oh, well, I run around a whole lot. I went to Fort Collins and was there a year. And I started to take soils. I still couldn't get in forestry school there, so I went to Missoula. I still couldn't get in.
Mm-hmm.
Tried, and I quit school. Finally, I decided I better go back and finish. When I came over here and finished.
Horticulture.
And now, right after I resigned from the Forest Service, transferred over to Extension,
mm-hmm,
then the Forest Service didn't set up a new deal. There were guys majoring in business and everything else, letters and science of all, mm-hmm, kinds, getting
a degree in forestry.
And they could, what they would do is send them to administrative school over at Missoula.
Mm-hmm.
Or you could go somewhere else, I guess you want,
mm-hmm,
to, Pullman. And you'd go there and you get that training,
mm-hmm,
and they start you out as a 6 and they give you what they call a lateral promotion. And so lots of them did that, and I could have done the same then.
Just missed it by a little bit.
Oh, Hank Bish, you ever heard of it? Over there in Missoula, he
Fish,
said that's what I should have done.
Yeah.
And then, let's see, I was going to tell you about, in 1948, I was a straw boss in a camp up in North Idaho. And the camp had broken up. And left there was my camp boss, the camp foreman, the superintendent, myself, and one young man to help us in dismantling the camp and packing it back up and sending it back to the warehouse. And his name was Ted Golden, a very good man. Well, we were sitting in the clock tent one Sunday morning, and we were on the thoroughfare halfway between Priest Lake and the Upper Priest Lake. You ever been up there?
I've been kind of in that area, but not right there.
You're
right
the whole cousin.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a landing thoroughfare between the two,
mm-hmm,
lakes.
Mm-hmm.
And we heard a boat coming. And the boat pulled over in front of our camp there, and there was 5 or 6 people got out. Well, Ted didn't say his turkey to me, but the camp superintendent, he opened up the flaps of the tent in the back and all the way through the brush. And well, I was sitting there at the desk And this old woman came over, older woman, says, "Well, I take it you're Mr. Golden." "No. No, I'm not Mr. Golden." "Well, where is Mr. Golden?" "Well," I said, "you can't see Mr. Golden." "Well, why didn't she, didn't know why she couldn't see Mr. Golden." And she's asking about the camp closing up. She didn't think it should. And then she said, "I would like to find out about you." And well, I told her my name and told her I was going to a different school. I wanted a school in the Pacific Northwest. And I said, "There's one in Idaho and one in Moscow and one in Pullman." I said, "It's too much of an engineer school." And I said, "There's Missoula. I'll probably end up going to Missoula if I get in." And she said, "Well, Missoula does have a good diversified school." I said, "Yes." I said, "Pullman's all right, except it's too much for engineering." She said, "Yes, I know. My husband's president over there." She was the wife of old Wilson Cummings.
I'll be darned. She was the wife.
And the best educated family in the United States.
I'll be darned.
And they sure teased me about that.
Bet they did.
Camp superintendent said, "I had you set up there and get you into Pullman."
You didn't want to. Now, you used your GI Bill for going to college after the war.
Well, yes.
As long as it
lasted. I used it up before I got down.
Mm-hmm.
And
I had to make it home. How would you sum up your experience in the Navy and that sort of thing? How would you summarize that in terms of what was sticks out the most, and what did it mean in terms of your overall experiences you've had in life?
I was marching. I knew it. But I didn't make the best grades in school.
Oh, okay. Well, a lot of us didn't at different times.
Times in my life I was hungry.
Uh-huh.
My family moved to Arkansas.
In Arkansas before the 30s, yeah.
And I was out of school cutting wood, picking up.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to the pipeline, of course I had a post. Damn job it was, going through those damn dirty places.
Oh, yeah, that a dirty
and
job. And
the cold hell and water and the hotness.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
But I did that for 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
As I said, I took Helen with me.
When you went back?
Exactly 50 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Back to Lancaster.
Uh-huh. And Lancaster hadn't changed a lot. Parts of it had.
I took it.
Yeah.
In fact, I had another landlord who really had a room for me.
Mm-hmm.
Old Lancaster was preserved pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see. I would say I come there getting kicked out. They took me over for a new examination. And the old doctor, the medical officer, he said, "Orville." He said, "When was the last time you pushed to bed?"
Mm.
And I told him. He said, "Have you lately?" "No."
Mm-hmm.
"Did you go to sleep at night?" I said, "Well, I really want it." "Son." "Well, I want to sleep in the hole from there."
Mm-hmm.
And he asked me one or two other questions. I said, "All right, hard work. That's all I want to know. Go back to your company." Well, that made me feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And then I couldn't do the Master of Arms too good.
Oh.
I got my hand on it.
Uh-huh.
And I got to just slam my gun. And Mr. Andreessen, my company commander,
mm-hmm.
he started laughing and hollered, "Why in the hell don't you take that damn thing to bed with you?" And so I just, at that time we were others, I just did take my face forward, 20 miles. And then he kind of jumped onto me. Mm-hmm. After that, we were running across the grinder once on Dyson. Mm-hmm. And we were through with calisthenics. And he hollered out and I come right by him and he hollered at me, "You better get running or else." And I said, "No, I hit him." And then, I passed some others in. I didn't know why. Wasn't the best shape in the world. I passed some others. Mm-hmm. And we were packing up to go over to the destroyer base for gunner training. I got a, what they call a school. And he came out there. He offered his hand. He said, "McCarver," he said, "I'm sure glad you, we were, I'm sure glad that you were in my home." I said, "Well, I feel the same about you." And he said, "I think I'll credit you with helping me."
But that
kind of gave me some encouragement.
That's good.
And then the lieutenant I got was very broad-minded. Mm-hmm. He was democratic. I took part of my gunner training with him. And then I ended up having to get on his ship, the William Sheriff. Mm-hmm. We found out that we were born on the same February the 4th.
Mm-hmm.
He came here for me.
Mm-hmm.
And we had our appendix out the same day, except he was a few months sooner.
Uh-huh.
You got some green on
here.
They were masterpieces.
Is that right?
He wrote his whole crew.
Oh, be darned. He wrote to you.
He's crazy. He said, I saved some letters from them. I don't know where they are now.
Mm-hmm.
But they were masterpieces.
Great.
Okay. Then, after I got out, he was in 6 months yet.
Mm-hmm.
We corresponded.
Okay.
He sent me some mass letters. And then, when I went to Washington, D.C. in 92, the year Randy got married. I looked him up. He lived in Alexandria, Virginia.
Okay.
He was retired.
Oh, yeah.
And his son brought him to see me. Well, the next morning I had breakfast with him. He still treated me as nice as ever. He seemed glad to see me.
Yeah.
Even though he had reached, 10 years ahead of me.
Yeah, 10 years ahead of you, yeah.
So his name was Bachelor. John L. Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
And
let's see how many.
Then we corresponded after that for a while. Well, I guess he went to a rest home.
Mm-hmm. Then after that.
Yeah.
When did you and Helen get married? Was that after you got out of college here at MSU? Or?
Yeah, I got my degree here.
Mm-hmm.
In horticulture, in 54.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 56, well, she was my secretary at Kalispell.
At Kalispell, I thought she was from Kalispell. Yeah. In 56,
yeah,
you got
the first break I ever had in my life.
Yeah, that's good.
I felt it way up. I felt like it.
Well, everybody deserves a good break now and then, and you really, from the time you started at Arkansas and then got into the Navy and went through and then came back and got set up, is really quite a project, isn't it?
I guess I could have got out of school sooner.
Well,
I was criticized for it. I was ridiculed by one of the things that he was like.
But everybody goes to school at their own pace, and you know, some people charge through and some of us take a long time. I'm like you. It took me a long time from beginning to end. Did a lot of stuff in between, but. Brian, go ahead.
On my 80th birthday, our house was surprised. We don't feel real proud of so many came.
Yes.
Well, Tori got up to leave. And told me I couldn't hear too well. And I should have had him to repeat it.
Yeah. Tori doesn't hear too well either, but.
Well, he said, Orville said, I had one thing against you. And he told me what it was. But I couldn't understand it.
I understand what it was. What it is. Well, I have to ask him again. I'll see him. I'll tell him about it. God damn, you got to go tell Orville what that was. Well, Orville, I appreciate the opportunity to, for this and for you to do this. It's been a great experience for me, and I'm sure the project will keep it. They'll have this on file. If you want to, well, I'm going to wrap it up here. This is the finishing of the interview with Orville McCarver in Three Forks, Montana on June 22nd, 2005. Excuse me, this will be another addition that Orville wants to make onto his tape. Okay. Right ahead.
I wanted to talk more, a little bit more about the fate of the William Sharon, the ship I was on that I got off of in Tacoma. And they loaded it up and sent it right back down to the Philippines. And it was hit by two suicide bombers. And it hit right on the bridge, right behind my gun tub, which was my gun tub, a 20 millimeter. And the tub and the gun, all, the whole mount, was broken off the corner of the bridge, and it dropped down on the main deck. One of the men I talked to said that a bunch of engineers couldn't have placed it more nicely if they had to set it down.
And had to plan and calculate out where it should have been, eh?
So, a young man that took my place, that's as far as he got. Okay, thank
you. So, you were lucky or fortunate then that you weren't on it anymore, that you got transferred, so.
I got several close calls.
Okay, so that.
And Madam told you, I just kept her word, I would probably ended up in FADAR.
Yeah, well, yeah, but she had a problem, too.
I don't know, she said she's going to take it.
She was going to take it.
Several times.
Is that right? Right, yeah. By name. That was quite a propaganda tool that they had at that time.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks for that additional. Oh.